silandele. Sizocela ukuthi sonke amafoni siwacishe ngikhona sizokwazi ukuthi ke uma sikhuluma sifocus. Ngoba ekupheleni kwenkulumo yakhe uzosinikeza ithuba lokuthi ke nathi siphefumule onombuzo abuze umbuzo othanda mhlawumbe ukwengeza kulokhu akuzwile noma mhlawumbe unombono ohlukile wamkelekile. Akusiyona mhlawumbe intumayelo ukukhuluma nje just ukuthi sibonisane sihlaziye isimo njengoba sinjalo sokuphila kwempilo yethu. Haleluya.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Srimateya Bhavati Vedanta Shanam Shiva Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaudavani Prasarane Nirvishesha Shundarani Vashkuta Deshata. The usual story of the bad connection over here. Thank you all very much for coming. Let's check out a few useless. Let's check out a few things first of all. That thing's useless. Thank you all for being here. How many of you are planning to go someplace else after this program's finished? How many of you are going to go someplace else? Anyone planning to stay? No, everyone's going up, right? Okay. And am I right also that everybody's here? Everybody here was someplace else before you came in? Yeah. Okay, you were all in some other room, some other place, and you came here. Okay, and when you leave, you're going someplace else.
Yes.
Okay, me too. We're all in the same boat here. Now, we're all living here, and how many of you think that when this life is over, that's it? You're not going anyplace else? Anyone? Yeah, maybe? Okay, one. This is it. You live and you die and it's over. No?
You live once and die once.
You live once, you die once, and it's over. Okay. Good. A lot of people think that, right? So you're representing a constituency. Anyone else? Okay, who's more about that? Everyone else, thanks for going someplace else when this trip's over. Okay. Now, how many of you think that you were someplace else before? One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. How many of you think we weren't anyplace else that we just, this is where we started. This life is the beginning. 1, 2, 3, 8, 10, 12, 14. Okay, good. So we've got the whole spread of ideas represented here. We were someplace else, now we're here. We're going someplace else. And this is it. Start to finish, and then it's over. And we're starting here, but we're going on. Okay, that pretty much represents all the possibilities. The Bhagavad Gita says that it's the second way. That we were someplace else. Now we're here. And when this is over, we go to the next place. Just as you were in some other classroom, now you're in this one, then you're going on to another one. That explains a lot. Like, here we are, some of us are rich. Some of us were born into rich families, some of us were born into poor families. Someplace in between. Some of us were born, big, some of us were born, like me, skinny. Some of us were born in South Africa, some in some other country, some in this family, some in that family, some this way, some that way. Now, you can ask yourself, why? You can ask yourself why. Why is it that someone's born in a rich family and someone's born in a poor family? Someone's born super strong and someone's born super weak. Someone's born healthy, someone's born diseased. Now why is that? Why is that? Well, someone says, it's just by chance. And you know what kind of explanation that is? It's no explanation. When we say something happens by chance, that just means we don't know why it happened. You know, if you say, why is this man here? Someone says, well, by chance. That just means you don't know. There's a reason that you're here. You've got an invitation, you decided to come, you thought it would be interesting. Not just random, you know, your number came up. You decided to come. There's a reason, right? So there's a reason things happen. If I drop this book, it will fall. Not by chance, but because there's some sort of reason behind it. We call it gravity. So what's the reason? You can ask yourself, why someone's born, you know, top of the hill, someone's born bottom of the valley. Why? If this life is the very beginning, there's nothing before, or, you know, and most people are on board with you on that. You know, you say this is the end. But they heard a lot of people say, well, this is the beginning. But if this is the beginning, why all these differences? And what determines who gets what? Who gets the, you know, the short straw, who gets the long straw? Any answer? Nothing. But if we take it that we lived before, that's an easy question to answer. If I lived before, you're here in college. I know that you're here in college because of what you did before. You studied when you were in grammar school, and this happened and that happened, and here you are in college. So where you are now is a result of where you were before. Where you're going next, into the job market, or, you know, better place, or better job, or whatever it is. A lot depends on what you do while you're here, right? What we do, you know, if I rob a grocery store, it's not just by chance that I'm going to go to jail. Or if I become a very charitable person, it may not be by chance that my name goes in the newspaper and people start to think that I'm a really great guy. Whatever we do has consequences. Because of what I do today, something happens tomorrow. So, as soon as we accept that we had a life before this one, all the differences in this life are easy to explain. Is that right? Does that make sense to you? Things fall into place, right? Things are the way they are now. This is what we did before. Makes sense, no? Someone to whom that doesn't make any sense at all, just like doesn't compute, can't figure it out. Or does that seem sensible?
It doesn't make sense.
Loud.
It's not making any sense.
It is making sense?
No.
What's missing there?
What's missing is a lot of things are missing. You're saying that.
You've got to be real loud because you're in the back on the front.
You're saying that you're living in a current state because of how you live in the past.
Yeah. Well, isn't that true? Let's just take this life. We're not going to talk about a past life or a future life. Let's take this life. Is it true that you are where you are now because of what you did before?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We'll reluctantly admit that, yeah. Because of what I did before, because I studied real hard, or because my mom pushed me, or because of, you know, friends that I knew and things that I did and efforts that I made, here I am. Right? There are things that could get me thrown out of here, you know. talking about the list as long as I do. You know, the things they'll throw me out of school for. You did this, and then I'm out. Or there are things where maybe by special arrangement they'll say, okay, you can come because you did this and this and this. So what I did before puts together results in where I am now, in this life. All through my life. If I, you know, I make friends with a big man and later on he offers me a job. Or I, you know, punch his kid and later on, you know, it's like he becomes the chief of police and I'm in trouble for no reason. What we do, acts have consequences. There's causes and results. Where we are now is the result of where we were before and what we did then. Yeah? That's like just ordinary. Yeah? Okay. Now, there's a starting point in this life. That's called birth. And that starting part point is different for everyone. Someone starts in a rich family. Someone starts in a poor family. Someone starts healthy. Someone starts diseased. Now we ask ourselves why. And we know about genetics and all that kind of stuff. But why was one person born with these genes and another person with those genes? If my mother was a drug addict when she was pregnant, then I get born addicted to heroin. Okay, you see the cause, it's because of what she did and that result. But why was I born with that mother? Why not the guy next door? Why was I born here and she was born there? So I see two possible answers. Three. And two of them are the same. One is by chance. Well, one is I don't know. Another is by chance, which is another way of saying I don't know. And the third is because of what I did before. Is there a fourth possibility here, something I'm missing? You got another one?
No, I didn't.
Well, hold on here. Is there a fourth possibility? Chance, I don't know, or because of something that I did before? Those are the three, I think. Yeah.
You made a typical example of being born by mother or the mother.
Yeah.
So does it mean that being born in a particular situation, I was a drug addict before too?
Not necessarily. But something happened by which I got stuck in that situation.
Of which I did.
Something I did, yeah. Now there's something she did, obviously, she was on the needle. But why was I the one who got put in that family? That's the question. So far we really only have two explanations. One is no explanation at all, we just don't know. And the other is because of something that we did before. One of them is just darkness, we have no information at all. And the other is that it's the usual thing. You do A, it results in B. Cause and effect, action and consequence. That's the way it works throughout our life. And as soon as we accept that that works also in a longer picture, the world starts to make sense. I gave you the example yesterday that here's a window. That white guy is a window. And you're sitting here, and all of a sudden you see a horse run right past the window. You all saw that horse, right? No, okay. You have to imagine a little bit. There's a horse running past the window. You saw it this time, right? Okay, good. The horse runs past the window. He appears right on the left side. He races across to the left side, comes to the right side. Now, what we don't know is, all we see, the only information in front of us is appearance of the horse, disappearance of the horse, and running in the middle. Now, what do you think was going on over here?
Running.
Yeah. And what do you think is going to happen over here?
He's running.
He's running, right? You see the horse running from here to there, and you figure he must have been running before. And you can figure he must be running after. But we only see through our window. We only see that much. But we understand he's you know, how did he get there? He didn't just like, boing. He didn't exist until he came into the window. And when he leaves the window, boing, that's it, end of horse. The horse was running before, the horse is running after. We're the horse, gang. Now we're running. We appeared at a certain time. We'll disappear at a certain time. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't running before and I will run after. That I didn't live before and I will live after. Life is continuous. I see you all here, but I don't think that before you entered this room, you didn't exist. You just popped into existence the moment I was able to see you. And as soon as you walk out that door, that's it, you're over. I don't think that. I know you're continuously existing and you only came into my little narrow area of vision for some time. So this life is like that. It's that little window where you can see us, I can see you, you can see me. But before, we were someplace. And that's the reason for the varieties. That's the reason. Even things happen in this life. But aside from birth, they just happen. Someone, you know, you get a letter in the mail. Your uncle has died and left you, you know, 1 million rand. Or you're walking down the road and you get hit by a truck. Or you meet this wonderful person who knows all the things that you wanted to know about and offers you a job. Why do those things just like pop out of nowhere?
By chance.
And again, chance means? I don't know. But really chance means that there's cause and effect. What I did before is going to have a result later. And sometimes we see it, you know, I punched a guy and, you know, he punches me back. Cause and effect, instantly. But sometimes it just seems to come out of nowhere. Just out of nowhere. I had a girl I knew when I was going to school. I later found out she was on her way to college, her first year, and her mother and father and sister were with her in the car, and as they were driving, the car had a flat. And the father got out to fix the car, fix the flat, and the two girls got out to help him, and the drunk driver came by, and just like that, all three of them were gone. Now, you know what? I went to school with so many boys and girls, that's the only girl that happened to. Why did that? You know, we know it's because the guy was drunk, but why did this drunk guy hit that place, those three people? That's what we call karma. Karma just means action, and actions have reactions. What you do, what do they say? What goes around comes around? Actions have reactions. So something from a previous life came up and had that result. Sometimes it's a bad result, you know, the result we don't want. Sometimes it's a good result. And that explains so much. Otherwise we have to say, well, I don't know. Yeah?
So you're saying something from your previous life is in
real life, you're still in the same place, and so on.
You are saying that something from your past past life has an effect on your present life, basically.
Somebody in the past life did.
Your past life has an effect on your present life.
The past life has an impact on your present life.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
How do you explain the Dutch people who came to South Africa?
How do I explain?
How do you explain the Dutch people who came to South Africa and killed Zulu people and try to tell me that that's going to come back to them because they murdered black people and took the land? But I don't see any of them getting poor or dying by the dozens or thousands. They still live in nice and nice lives.
Okay, I think I hear you. How do I explain people who like kill off thousands of people and then they go and live a rich life? Exactly the question. We see this happen all the time. You know, some guy kills off like 500,000 people, and then he retires to Argentina, right? And lives, opulent, wealthy life, lives to be 92 and dies in his sleep, right? What's going on? Exactly. Therefore, this understanding that either the world is just totally unfair. If there's God, he just like lets it all go and lets injustice just rule the whole place. Or there's one life and the next life and the next life, and he's thinking he's getting away with it. Because he went to Argentina, because he lived in a gated community with a Rolls Royce and, you know, his whole thing, his swimming pool and everything. Lived to be a ripe old age, 92. He thinks, I got away with it. Killed 500,000 people and nothing happened. No. Next life, he pays. Next life, he pays. Now we ask, you know, what did this kid do? That he was born crippled, that he was born blind, that he can hardly breathe. That is, you know, one of those kids who's like found in a garbage can somewhere. You know, why? What happened? Why did this poor child? Why did such a thing happen? How could such a thing happen? He was that guy in a previous life. And maybe that's like, he's going to go from one garbage can, next life, next garbage can, next life, next garbage can, because there's a million people, 500,000 people, whose account he has to pay for. Things start to make sense. Or I'll take it the other way. I was a good guy. I was like one of those people who was like helping orphans and helping poor people and giving of myself and sacrificing. And some guy comes along and shoots me in the head. And then you ask, well, where's justice? So next life I get to collect on my good deeds from this life. The account's balanced. And then everything becomes sensible. We get what we deserve. So I go into a store and I say I want to buy a set of clothes. I could look around the whole store, but there's only certain sets of clothes I can buy. Which are those? Ones I have enough money for. Right? So according to what's in my account, maybe I have an account with the store, or maybe I have a bank account. Someplace I have an account, and according to my account, I can buy this, I can buy this, I can buy this, but I can't buy that. So we got this body, it's like a set of clothes. What kind of body do I get? The one I can afford? Or they want that they hand out. They say, okay, you've got this much money, you can have this one. You've got this much money, you can have that one. And it's not money, of course, but it's credit, according to my deeds, according to what I did. Yeah? You got to be real loud. If there's cause and effect, and if you speak loud, I'll hear that's cause and effect. Is there a door here or something?
I'm here today. I'm going to work and hopefully someday I'm going to become a successful teacher in accounting.
going to get closer to you so I can have a better shot here. Okay.
So my question is, on my next slide, am I going to start afresh? Let's say I was only a full background. Am I going to go back to that life and start working all over again? Or am I going to recap to where I left off? Let's say now I'm successful, I just have content and all of that. Am I going to recap where I left off from my previous life, or I'm going to start all over again?
Good question. I work hard in this life, I study, I become a graduate, I get appointed to a good job, I make some money, I have some skill, I do some stuff, then I die. Now, next life, do I like just start from zero? Or do I pick up from where I left off and say, okay, you know, I got my MA, now I'm going to go for my PhD? Right?
Am I going to be born at this in a rich family that if I can be born after my death?
Yeah, am I going to be born rich or poor? It's all a result of all the things we do in our life. So something I do and I get like karmic credit. You know, okay, she did something good. Give her, you know, put something in her town. Then she really kind of dumped on some people. Well, debit, you know, take something out. Up and down it goes, and you know, different kinds, like a little of this and a little of that, this kind of karma, that kind of karma. Then it's all totaled up at the end. Boom, next slide. And maybe a better place than where you started from this life, or a better place than where you ended up, or maybe down, according to the consciousness that we cultivate. According to what kind of person you become, what kind of, you know, mind you develop. That sends us to the next level. Even if it's like, if you don't live in such a way that you become a mean, nasty person, you know, that's going to send you in one direction. You develop the mind of a kind and a thoughtful person, that's going to send you in another direction. The same thing for life and mind. The mind that you develop, the consciousness that you develop, thanks to your mind. And what's going on is that sometimes we're going up, and then sometimes we're going down again. Because it's not just this life, the next life, and the one after that, but it's after that, after that, after that, after that. And what's happening is we're sometimes doing well, going up, and then sometimes, okay, now I'm on top of the heap, and I do stupid things, and I go down. Up and down, up and down. Where am I going? Nowhere.
So all of that is determined by the actions that we do in this present
life. Yes. Exactly. It's all determined by what we do in this life.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you your starting place in the next life. And what you do, that's up to you. That gives you your situation. And it determines what things are thrown your way. Good or bad. And we're going in this cycle, round and round and round. Warned, you go through it, you do this and that. Warned again, go through it, this and that. Until, and this is called our unnatural position. Why is it unnatural? Because as a spiritual being, I'm not meant to die. And I'm not meant to be born. Birth is just the other side of death. Once born, he has to die. And when he dies, he's born again. The cycle is going on and on until I come to my natural position. My natural position is my spiritual position. My natural position is to be connected to God. When I'm connected with God, then my birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, so then I go to where God is. And God is not going through birth and death. God is eternal. Everything connected with God is eternal. That's where we're meant to be. In that sense, we're in the wrong world. We're in the world where everything's temporary, where everything comes and goes. But the natural place for us is the spiritual world, where God is. My body is coming and going. My soul is eternal. I'm not the body, I'm the soul. So the idea of spiritual consciousness is to revive that understanding. Or that's bhakti yoga. Yes.
Who decides that my life has to stop now?
Who decides?
Yeah.
Well, God finally decides, but he doesn't make all those decisions himself. He has agents who do it. You know, just like you've got the head of the university. The head of the university doesn't decide, you know, what your grade's going to be, what class you're going to go to, whether you get admitted or not. He has guys down below him who do that stuff.
So
in creation, that's there. But there are higher authorities who are in charge of this stuff.
So if there is there a possibility that they put an end in my life, whereas I was a bad person.
Is there a possibility that
they put an end in my life, whereas I was a bad person?
Well, there's possibility, not only possibility, sure, they're going to put an end to your life. Whatever kind of person you are. You're a good person, you're a bad person, no one escapes that, right?
Okay, I have this question. So is there a possibility that in the next life I'll be a female?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Because it's just a dress. You know, someone's got the dress of a female, someone's got the dress of a male, his body's a dress. And you can change dresses, you know, according to what you're thinking of. The guy who spent his whole life thinking about females. You become what you think of. Yes?
Is there a possibility?
I'm going to come up closer.
Is there a possibility that as I'm here living today, let's say I'm a bad man,
That's also possible.
Oh.
In this book, What to Speak of Danger Boy, you're going to find something really fascinating in this book. There's a history, in fact, in the chapter that I wrote here, there's a history of a case that a scientist, a doctor from America, investigated of a little girl who started talking about as if she had another life. And she was talking about her husband. There's a little girl, you know, like a 5-6-year-old girl. My husband and my daughter and my brother and my house and my this and my that. And giving names and giving places. And so many things. And she wanted to go back to her other house. You know, 5-year-old, I want to go to my other house. And somehow or other, her father was connected with the railway, and he knew of some place that was the place, you know, the name of the place she'd given. And by making some inquiries, he found out about a family that had a woman who died, and he had a daughter with that name. Her name is Nunu. And he took his daughter to that place. And the daughter recognized people and recognized the place and knew where things were and asked about this and asked about that. And how do you explain that?
Chance.
Say that again?
It's a chance. By chance.
By chance. Well, that's quite a lot of chance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excuse me? It looks like reincarnation, doesn't it? It looks like at least there's a possibility that she actually was that woman before. Yeah, it's very unusual. I mean, I don't know what I was in my previous life. Maybe you probably don't know what you were in your previous life. Most of us forget. So this is like a little warp in nature. You know? Sometimes something's a little bit cockeyed in nature and you see something unusual. This is something unusual. Yeah, I
have to have certain memories of that.
Say that again?
Why do you have to have certain memories of that?
Why do you have to have certain memories of that?
You're supposed to start doing that.
Yeah, why? Very unusual. And we ask ourselves that question. How is it? Something that this girl did resulted in her being able to remember when most of us totally forget. And as she grew up, she also forgot. You know, sort of faded, the way memories fade. But it presents a very, and this one girl, this is one case, this doctor collected hundreds and hundreds of cases. So it's, you know, he was fascinated, he was investigating. He didn't arrive at a firm conclusion, but he said this certainly suggests reincarnation. Certainly suggests reincarnation.
Some other country.
Yeah, could you be born in another country? Absolutely.
Or maybe in the same neighborhood.
Or in the same neighborhood. You could be born in the same family, or you could be born in, you know, another continent.
Sorry, sir.
You know, here's an example. The Vedic literature gives the example of seaweed. It's floating on the ocean, and some little pieces of seaweed come together, and they float like this. And then they float away like that. So we're like that. We're floating in the ocean of the world of existence. And sometimes we float together and then we say we're a family, or we're countrymen. And then we float apart. And someone's born in another family, someone's born in another family, another country, another place. That's what this is like, waves of material existence, and we're being carried this way, carried that way. I saw another question here. Yes, with the blue shirt. I can't come all the way up there, so you have to be to the left. Acoustics aren't that crazy. I think the room is built so that you're meant to hear me, but I'm not going to hear you. Oh, good, there's stairs here too. Tell me again.
You say
people die and...
Yeah,
how about
that? So, we get one system.
They're not?
No, I don't understand ancestors.
Yeah, they're ancestors. I have my ancestors. But those ancestors don't stay in one place. They don't stay, just like... Suppose my father, let's say when I was born, he was working in New York. But when I was 8, he made a transfer to London. And when I was 20, he may have been in Dar es Salaam. Move around, right? So my father, my most immediate ancestor, moves around from place to place.
So maybe what's happening?
Yeah, someone living maybe your ancestor. Someone living right now. Maybe one of your ancestors. Which is really far out, isn't it? But that's possible. Because we're moving. It's not that we're just staying still. We move from place to place. The person who was my ancestor in a previous life, maybe my brother in this life, the president of the country, or my professor, or my friend. Because the ancestor, how is that person my ancestor? How is the person my, I say this person is my father. And what's it mean that he's my father? It means that I have this body which came from different, right? That body's not permanent. This one's not permanent. That one's not permanent. Right? When I leave this world, I'll leave this body behind. He leaves the world, he leaves that body behind. Now, what does it mean that he's my father? Relationship is built on the body. But the body comes and goes. The relationship seems to be really solid. But the body is not really solid. It disappears. The relationship actually disappears. I say this with my ancestor. But he's not in that body anymore. The body that was the body of my father is in a grave somewhere. Person's eternal. But the relationship is temporary.
Do you believe that it's ancestors?
Sure. Everybody has ancestors.
But given the problem, the concept that you're bringing to us, it's one of the things that kind of conflicts itself. You're saying that ancestors come back again. Is there really has some other things besides?
Yeah, the message with our picture.
I'm trying to wrap my head around what you're trying to say to you.
It'll take a while, but we're thinking of our ancestors as like, fixed targets, right? He's my ancestor, and then he goes here, and that's where he is. But he's like that horse. He was moving across the screen, and now I think when he's off the screen, he just stops. He keeps moving. Our father sometimes forgets about us in this life. You know, he marries another woman and forgets about his family. It happens, right? I say it's my, even sometimes, you know, so much of my father, and I, you know, he doesn't even know that he became my father. Right? It happens. He moves on. He's got another wife, he's got some more kids. He has no idea. Because he moved on. say again?
Let's say Lincoln.
You dreamed about your parents? Yeah.
Something can happen to me in the coming.
That's true. Yeah, that can happen. Dreams have some substance to them, some meaning to them. Let's look at it the other way. We have a dream and something in the dream. While we're dreaming, it appears all to be true, doesn't it? And then when we wake up, either none of it's true or only a little bit of it's true. This life also, while we're awake, is like that. It appears to us that this is our life. But it's like a dream, because it'll be over very soon. Dream is over at night, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And this dream that we have during the day is over after 15 years, 70 years.
I think it's something like ghosts.
Oh, ghosts? Everybody wants to know about that.
No, so I'm still trying to understand you, because so we African people, we have so many things that are mystical stuff. So we don't know if they are toothbrushes, they are magic, they are trucks,
we were talking about this yesterday. What I was saying is that there's actually a lot of correspondence there. That because you have these understandings, you can catch on to this very quickly. Ghosts. Let's deal with ghosts because they want to be dealt with. According to the Vedic knowledge, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is it, would you rather have me down there? So you don't have to turn your necks around? Okay. And back there. According to the Bhagavad Gita, our body has two parts, an outer part and an inner part. Or we have an outer body and an inner body. Just like a person may have a shirt and a coat. The shirt is the inner dress, the coat is the outer jeans. So we're souls, we're spiritual beings, and we're wearing two dresses. The outer dress is this body, the one that you see. The fingers and the toes. This is my outer dress. And my inner dress is my mind. That's called the subtle dress. My mind, my intelligence. That's like another body, a subtle body. Okay? Now, usually, when I leave this life, I get another shirt and coat. Right? I'm born in another body. But sometimes a person isn't awarded another coat. All he gets is the shirt. All he gets is the shirt. All he gets is the subtle body. That's called a ghost. He still has thoughts, he still has desires, he still has feelings, but he doesn't have this body with which to satisfy those thoughts and feelings and desires. Therefore, ghosts are, and sometimes they want to grab your body and enjoy it through that, because they don't have one of their own. So there's a subtle body, gross body. A person kills himself, they become a ghost. The sage says, well, I gave you a coat before, and you burned it. I'm not going to give you another one. You live without it for a while. That's right. Okay, yes.
Thank you for this call. You mentioned dreams.
Mind is very subtle, and these things, it could mean and in the previous life that was you. Or it could mean, you know, we put things together in our mind. Like I see gold, and I see a mountain, and I dream of a golden mountain. Because the mind is like that, the mind puts together. Do I dream that I'm a millionaire living in France? And I know France, I know millionaires, I know me. I put the three together, and now I'm a millionaire. The mind is full of all of this stuff. So sometimes it's a little bit from a previous life, and sometimes it's a bit just, you know, hooked up in my mind. So maybe there's something to it. Sometimes people, you know, in their dreams, they see something that had meaning. But even then, I see this, you know, let's say I saw a king. I keep seeing this king in my dreams. And I come to feel very strong. Who's that king? That king was only king for, you know, 20 years, 50 years. He's the horse. He ran on the street, he became a king. He ran off, he became a pauper, beggar. Rust, the next screen, something else. So, you know, even what we see, even now I see myself, I'm convinced that I'm something. But I'm not. I'm none of the things that I think I am. I'm the eternal soul, the eternal servant of God. Yeah, listen.
Going back to the ghost.
You know, you can almost picture the little tail on. So once again, he needs to have the mind. His subtle dress is already in this life. He's making his subtle dress into the dress of the pig. And that subtle dress, you know, is going to lead to the ghost dress. The shirt that he's wearing is going to determine something about the coat that he's going to wear. So it's what we were talking about before, that my mind is creating my next body. Just like the mind that you had at school is led you here to this college. The mind that you develop in the college to take you to your next stage. It's the mind that you develop at the time of death to carry you to the next life. It's the mind of the pig. Nature says, here. If it's the mind of an angel,
what's the point of this whole life?
What's the whole point? There's no point. No good reason. The only good reason is that we want it to. We have these desires. I want this. I want that. I want to eat this. I want to enjoy that. Because my mind wants it, I keep coming back for every shot of it. But it's not natural.
So you decide, if I say I want to stop living, I don't want to go to after that.
I just want to die and stay here. And it's not tough luck. Just like, you know, you ever get kicked out of your apartment? Probably not. But sometimes people are kicked out of their apartment. And they don't want to go. I lived here for 20 years. But sorry, you know, I've got a piece of paper in my hand and I'm kicking you out. Well, it's not just what we want, but what we're entitled to. I gave the example before, you go to the store, you buy a dress. You can't say, well, I want that one. Well, I'm sorry, you know, that's like 800 yen. No problem, I've got 400 yen, give it to me. So it's what we desire and it's also what we deserve.
So you said before that you can go to the higher level.
You can go to the higher level.
So in order to do that, you must leave all these ones.
You gotta be left.
You know, you said that your mind wants everything. So in order to be at the eternal state, you must stop thinking about all this.
You don't have to stop thinking. But if we want to come to a higher level, then we think about doing good things, we think about doing kind things, we think about doing charitable things. But if you want to come to the highest level, you think about reviving your relationship with God. That's the eternal level. That's the level of consciousness that's revived by bhakti yoga, by reading books like Bhagavad Gita, by chanting. That's where, when you chain perfection, then it's the same thing. You go to God, you become perfect, and go.
He wants us to be perfect.
He wants to be, what's it, be perfect like my Father in heaven is perfect?
Yes, he wants us to be perfect. Why can't just remind us why we're perfect?
Why doesn't he?
Just
reprimand us.
He's
telling us again and again. He's sending his son, he's giving us the Bible, he's giving us Bhagavad Gita, he's sending prophets, and he's, you know, here's the message, here's the message, here's the message. Is he sorry, not interested? That's our problem.
How are you going to fix your wrong if you don't agree with him after that?
Just like you caught a disease. I don't know which one it was, you know, malaria, whatever it is. You don't remember where you caught it. You don't remember what you ate or what mosquito did you. All you know is that you're sick. That's all you have to know. Well, that you have to know that, you have to know how to get cured. If you say, well, wait a second, I have to go back and find that mosquito. No. I have malaria. That's enough. And here's medicine and let me take it. The world, do I believe that the world will sometimes come to an end? For every one of us it will. But yeah, the world is like, I'm talking about how we're going through lifetime after lifetime in cycles. The world goes through cycles like that. It's created and destroyed, created and destroyed.
So there's no hell?
There's hell too.
What's the point of hell then?
Hell means? You broke the law, now go to hell. Just like jail is hell. You know, they send me to jail, and my mother writes to me and says, how is that? It's hell. Because it is. Why am I there? Because I broke the law. But it's not, in Vedic knowledge, it's not that I go there forever. I go there for some time according to the severity of my offense. And I get a chance to come out again, and now I can do the same thing. Go back to hell. Excuse me? There's hell in this life too. And that's just the evidence. In this life there's heaven, you know, my trip to Mauritius, and there's hell, my trip to jail. So as in this life, the larger pictures I have too. Last question?
Last three
more.
Yes. So what you said is,
say again?
If you say this,
yeah.
There's also heaven.
What not?
There's also heaven.
There's also heaven.
Yeah, so we're talking about being
talking
about being connected.
Yeah.
After life. Okay?
Yes.
We're talking about being connected after life.
Being born again after life.
Yeah.
So
how is it possible to be born again and go to heaven?
Yeah. I'll explain. How is it possible to be born again if you go to hell or you go to heaven? Now I'm going to explain that the hell and heaven we're talking about.
What's the difference between for that? You mean I'm born again to a human being?
Yeah, I'll explain. That first of all, the hell and heaven I'm talking about are not permanent places. Just like if you think that jail is hell. But it's not permanent. You go there and you stay for 6 months or a year, 7 years, and it passes forever. You use up, you went there because of, you know, according to the severity of your test, you serve your sentence, when your sentence is over, okay, now you need to go back to society. Heaven's like a vacation. You go to London for a week. Stay in a really nice hotel and you go see all this stuff, and then your money's used up. And then you come back to Earth. Say, well, it's a great trip. But the heaven and hell that I'm talking about are like the material heaven and hell, which are temporary. You go there, you come back here. You go up, you're using up your credit and coming down again. You go down, you're using up your debt, and you're paying your fees, and then you're coming up with it. So we wind up here, this is the middle. And the middle is the place where you can do something. You go to jail, there's not much you can do. While you're on vacation, you're not earning anything. But while you're in the middle, that's where you're determining where you can go. You can go back up to heaven for another shot of it, you fall down again, you go to hell for a while, back up again. The best thing is, go back to God and stay there. You're free from sometimes heaven, sometimes hell, sometimes heaven. Second question. All the way over there, okay, you take your money. Okay.
Okay. yeah, sometimes people have some special powers. That's possible. Sometimes they're just cheaters, you know, they make a show and take your money and that's it. And sometimes maybe there's somebody who has some power. It's possible. But even suppose if they cure me, you know, I'm on my deathbed and I'm going to die, and then they, you know, they put their hands on my chest and they pull out some very strange thing. And they say, now you're okay. And I say, yeah, I'm okay. So what? I'll live another 5 years, 10 years. Then what happens? Back on the table. Doesn't solve the problem. Last question.
Forgive me for asking this question.
I'll forgive you in advance.
Okay. I'm curious, what point is it for life and death if you live only to die and the treasures work for its perfect?
Perfect question. What is the use of life if you collect your treasures and then you have to lose them all? Exactly. No use. That's the message of the Bible, that's the message of the Bible. I mean, there's no use. We're working hard to build something up that we're going to lose. How smart is that? So the sages and the saintly people are always directing us. Don't waste your time just trying to build up a pile of stuff that you're going to lose. What? Build up your treasures in heaven, right? Go back to God where your treasure is permanent. That's the message. Okay? No? I mean, it's not the most popular message. People say, well, no, you know, I'm going to work and I'm going to enjoy it while I can. But then they can't enjoy it anyway. You know, When I got a treasure, what happens? I call the security company. I say, I have a problem here. I've got too much treasure. I get a dog and I get a guy with a gun. And okay, I think I'm safe. But now, you know, my wife's after my treasure. My friends are after my treasure. The government's after my treasure. Right? I have always anxiety. Where am I going to put it? What's going to happen to it? Or I spend some of it, and I say, well, that was fun. But it doesn't really, you know, I know some very rich people, and it's not that they're the happiest people in the world. Sometimes the poor man is more happy. The person who's actually happy is the person who's revived his God consciousness or religion. Because his happiness doesn't depend on anything that's going to be lost. It's perfect. That was three.
Can you ask? Can I ask for a word?
Four.
And okay. Then give a book.
Okay.
Well,
my mother would say.
No, you gotta be loud, loud, loud.
My mother would say, God created two people.
God created two people.
And he's not just.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
My mother would say, God created two people, which is not an illusion.
Yeah.
And then he said he must give birth to
the Lord. Not to believe, and then should give birth to
the Lord. Yeah, but the God, the only gave birth to two sons. You believe that God created.
There are a lot of competition with that.
I'm saying that the God created two people.
God created two people out of
and they only gave birth to two sons.
And they only had two sons. Which one died? Okay.
So do you believe that God created so do you believe that God created another nation? Because the universe only gave birth to two stars.
Was this
how much of the nation?
How's the population? Well, maybe the future. When something's complicated, we give sort of an understandable story. So this Adam and Eve history gives us the idea that there's God, he creates man and woman, they go on and create more and more and more. Actually, the
from the Bible, there were other people hanging around also. Right? Because God said, was talking to the angels here. Right? That people will become trees like us. So it's not that this was the whole picture. There's more. But the basic idea is right. That God creates man and woman, and give some instructions, do it this way, and then get another idea. Well, I think there's someone else around the snake that's going to do it. Then you got another idea. Well, no, I think, you know, he's telling us this, but I think I'm going to do that. And then, okay, now we go. So, then, sure. So the whole project is how to go back. That's the bottom line. Say again. Anyone who knows what kind of fruit they ate? Well, the general rumor is apple. Could have been apricot, could have been pear, mango, mangosteen. But what kind of fruit it was, really, is the fruit that they weren't supposed to be. Not the soy. What species it was, that doesn't really matter. It's the one you're not supposed to have. And that's what we said, you know, okay. You know, I could have this and this and this and this, you know. So many things I can have, but I think, no, I want what's in her bed. That's illegal. There's some laws, and when you break the laws, okay, now you're in trouble. Okay. We have some books. What's happening is, what am I doing with these words?
You decide how it's going to be
moved. How to handle over, that becomes like favoritism. Now it's not how do I decide against the book? Okay, I see hands. Whoa. Okay, if this book is for the girl who only lives once. Over there. For the bank, this one. Okay. Fellow, I couldn't decide. Thank you.